Well, with Thanksgiving coming up here in a couple of weeks, I've been thinking about thankfulness. You know, we have this national holiday. Of course, the Feast of Tabernacles is also a fall festival, a time of thanksgiving as well for all of that God's blessings. But how thankful are many people that may keep Thanksgiving in our nation? You know, we're somewhat of a complaining nation, you know, especially prevalent now with the internet, and go on there anonymously or under a pseudonym, and people just blast, you know, whatever comes out with all types of complaining and criticism. You know, politicians focus on what is wrong from their perspective. And so we've been very blessed in this nation overall for my whole life. You know, since the Depression, we've had our ups and downs, but, you know, I haven't been through a lot of hardship. I was born in 47, and it's been basically a fairly good time. I know there's been hard on certain people at certain times, but overall, our nation has been very blessed over that time frame. And so we can become very complacent and really take God's blessings for granted. And we can pick up, you know, one scriptures talks about people in the latter days being unthankful. And we can sometimes pick up on that ingratitude in the society around us. You know, we may be relatively happy in our situation, our job, our family life, and other course of life. But if you get around someone who's negative, complaining all the time, it's easy to absorb that. We can be easily influenced. We can become complainers ourselves. I know that my power goes out, I get very impatient for it to come back on. You know, we're just so used to having this lifestyle with all of our conveniences. So today I want to look at thankfulness. I'm going to shorten this up some. Man has really got a whole sermon today, so I'm going to be, this probably just be a long sermonette on thankfulness. But what should it mean for a Christian, a worshiper of God? How important is it to have an attitude of thanksgiving? The Bible is full of references to thanksgiving, to being thankful for what God provides for us. The peace offerings. You know, they don't get much coverage in the Old Testament, but they were an important part of worshiping God. There's detailed instructions on the peace offering in Leviticus 3, and we won't turn there. That's if you want to go back and read it later. Leviticus 7, 11 through 21 also talks about the peace offerings. And we'll just read a few verses out from there. Leviticus 7, verse 11. I've got all these printed out in my notes, so I'll hopefully give you enough time to turn there. Leviticus 7, verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. And so there was a meal offering there. And then on down to verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. So if it was a thanksgiving offering, it had to be eaten that same day. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering, in verse 16, is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, but on the next day the remainder of it may be eaten. So there's two types of peace offerings. And on down, we won't read that in detail, but it talks about the person being pure that is offering the thank offering. So it was to be one who had repented of their sins and purified themselves. Came across an explanation I thought was good from a website called Bible-History.com. And I was just going to quote from that article. It says, "The peace offering was a meal that was shared with the Lord, the priest, and sometimes the common Israelites. The worshiper was to bring a male or female, oxen, sheep, or a goat. The ritual was closely compared to the burnt offering up to the point of the actual burning, where the animal's blood was poured around the edges of the altar. The fat and entrails were burned, and the remainder was eaten by the priest, and if it was a free will offering, by the worshipers themselves. This sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving was most of the time a voluntary act," so it was a free will offering. "The peace offerings included unleavened cakes. The priest ate all except the memorial portion of the cakes and certain parts of the animal. On the same day, the sacrifice was made, and when the worshiper joined in and the offering was free will, the worshiper could eat for 2 days of the whole animal except the breast and the right thigh, which were eaten by the priest." And so sometimes they bring in, it was a communal meal when they offered a peace offering. Genesis 31:43 talks about Jabin and Laban offering a peace offering when they made their treaty. So they made this contractual arrangement and marked it with a peace offering. "It was required to make offerings while making a vow of one's life to God and thanking him with praise, while free will offerings were voluntary." We read in the Psalms that even in times of trouble, we are to maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. And that really is difficult at times. And I know that many are going through many trials right now, and it's hard. In Psalms 107, David talked about that. And we won't read all of this in detail, but verses 4 through 9 talked about wandering in the wilderness, 10 through 16 about being in prison, 23 through 32 about being lost in a storm at sea. But then it would always, interspersed in that whole chapter, and this is repeated in several verses, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And that's in verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, and verse 21, that refrain was repeated over and over again, even in these times of trial. In verse 31, I notice here. Psalms 116, we might turn there. Psalms 116, verse 3, talks about expressing thanksgiving for deliverance from death. Verse 3 says, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." And then on down in verse 17, he says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." So David, even though he went through a lot of trials, he wrote all of these beautiful psalms. And even in trial, he was always praising and offering thanksgiving. A man named Jeremy Taylor, I found a quote he made. He said, "From David, learn to give thanks for everything. Every furrow in the book of Psalms is sown with seeds of thanksgiving." And that's very true. Christ was very thankful. He showed us, I just want to give one example, and we won't turn there. Matthew 26:27, when he instituted the Passover, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." And we read that every year at the Passover. So he gave us that example of always giving thanks. Paul also offered thanks, even in a lot of trials that he went through. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. Paul wrote, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And these weren't idle words. We see Paul lived this. One example of that was in Acts 16, verses 16 through 25. And it was talking about that they had delivered this girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination. Divination, it says. And verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us, and it's talking about Paul and Silas, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." So even though she was possessed, she recognized who Paul was. And this she did for many days. And you imagine how annoying that would have been, this girl shouting this out everywhere you went. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities. And on down to verse 22. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And then they were threw them into prison. And then fastened their feet in the stocks in verse 24. Verse 25 is the amazing thing. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, here they had just been beaten and thrown in prison, and they were praying and singing hymns to God in the middle of the night. You know, would I have had that reaction if I had gone through that? That's really something to think about, but really where our hearts need to be all the time. Several years ago, I came across a sermon transcript. Was on five levels of thankfulness, and I just wanted to go over those because I thought this really emphasizes the need for focusing on a thankful attitude. The level one is just negative, constantly complaining. I mean, if it was all on a chart, you know, it'd be way over to the left off the chart. 1 Corinthians 10:10, Paul wrote, "Nor murmur as some of them, the Israelites, also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer." And so this is people that constantly murmur. They're constantly unhappy. You know, how long can you or I go without complaining about something? I hope it's a little less, but I'm a complainer too at times. I'm a complainer too. Still got a lot of growth in this area. The level two is still negative. This person doesn't complain much, but at the same time does not have an attitude of thanksgiving, never thanks God for anything. You know, the example of that is in Luke 17 about the 10 lepers. Of course, it's a very familiar story. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." 1 out of 10. You know, they had been ostracized. You know, one reference I was reading that they had to stay at least 50 yards away from everybody, and they had this curse taken off of them. But only one came back, and he wasn't an Israelite. He was an outsider. He was a Samaritan, it says. "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So again, this shows how easy it is to get a blessing, but to not really recognize where it came from and to really praise God and thank him for it. The level three is someone who thanks God for the obvious physical and spiritual blessings, the good things. And you look at most of the Thanksgiving Day proclamations that the president's put out, a lot of times it's about the good things we have, the blessings, the prosperity we have in our nation, the freedoms we have. And we should be thankful for those things. And then the fourth level, in Paul writing to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in every situation and circumstance. Again, back to even those negative circumstances. Philippians 4:6-8, this is a verse that's very inspirational, but also hard to live on a daily basis. Philippians 4:6-8 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And a lot of times it's, you know, what do we have our minds on? Do we really think about the positive things? You know, there's, you know, benefit to at the end of the day to think, how has God blessed me today? Even if the day went rough, what could have been good about today? Like how thankful is your and my attitude when the power is out that I mentioned a while ago? When someone loses their job or when they are sick going through that trial. Saw a story about, you know, Matthew Henry wrote the Bible commentary. And this is from the speaker's notes from this transcript I have. It says, "One real life example of giving thanks in everything is actually in the life of Matthew Henry. You might hear some of us from time to time quoting from Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible. In one point in Mr. Henry's life, he was robbed. Obviously, that was a terrible thing, but he was able to find something to be thankful for, even in that event, and he wrote this in his diary. He said, 'Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before.'" Well, I probably wouldn't think of that. "Secondly, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life." And I've heard a lot of people say that. Tornado comes through, blows their... Well, at least we're still alive, even everything else is gone. "Thirdly, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Interesting that something as bad as that, being assaulted, accosted, and robbed, he was able and really very diligently applying the scripture. It seems he took it seriously, the command to give thanks in everything. I think that's a very good example for us. In his trial, he found a way to apply that scripture. And then level five is the top level, is thanking God for who and what he is, the highest level. To accept all that happens as a gift from God, even if we don't understand why. That's where faith really comes into play. Habakkuk 3, verses 16 through 18. Turn there. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. "When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls," it was a very destitute time, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." You know, this is, again, humanly, almost impossibly, to to be able to rejoice in these times of trouble, but with God's help we can. Well, year-round, daily gratitude toward God and Jesus Christ and those around us is a constant challenge. What level are you at? Do you regress on some days to level one, where everything's you're complaining about everything? Or do you get stuck at level three, just appreciating the good things? God expects thanksgiving to be an integral part of our character and attitudes in our relationship with Him and with others we may live or work with. Challenge yourself to think daily about what God has done for you and praise God for who He is. I'm just going to close with Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.